You're listening to audio from the St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
How's everybody? How about Luke singing this morning? Woo, I love it. That's good stuff. Woo. Oh man, let's pray and we'll dig in. God, thank you. Thank you for your presence, your power, your grace, your mercy. And as we dig into one of the more challenging passages of the New Testament, shape and form us that we might be like Jesus. This is our prayer. In his name, amen. Light reading, are you ready? Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Well, this past week, I was on the road and stopped at one of the drive-thrus off one of the exits about halfway to where I was going, and it was an older restaurant that I went to, fast food chain, nationally recognized restaurant, and the older restaurant had one of those old speaker boxes, didn't have the cool new video board that you can make sure that everything's right, and so sure enough, I was warmly greeted with, hello, welcome to...
I'm so glad you're here.
So I did the only thing I knew how to do. I just said, thanks, I'll have a number three, thank you so much, and then just kind of took off to the next point of the process. But that's how it goes sometimes, and in a lot of ways, drive-through is its own language. You try to figure out what you want to communicate as clearly as possible, and you hope at the end of the process you get the things that you want. Relationships can be the same way. A lot like that drive-through, quick, transactional, all too often impersonal, and lots of mixed messages flying in between. Gentlemen, this is sort of our way of communicating. Short sentences, yes? Like, let's just be direct, let's get to the point. What is it that you want? It's yeses and nos, a few grunts here and there, some high fives, and depending on which era you grew up in, it's either buddy, dude, or bro. Close? Now, all of this, of course, is open for change, especially in the moment that a group of guys get together around a do-it-yourself project, and when there's three or more, then all of a sudden, all the talking begins. Now, women, it's very, very different for you. It's something out of a 16 to 1800s Victorian-type novel with subtle plot shifts and all kinds of layers of meaning that one has to discern. It's sort of something akin to this, shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more temperate and more lovely. It takes you a minute to really figure out what's being said here. And there it is. That's life. Drive-through speaking men and Shakespearean speaking women, and much like the fast food industry promises, we all want it our own way, yes? Yet wanting it our own way is right smack dab in the middle of one of the most hotly contested pieces of scripture that most people think starts right here. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. And the moment you read this off as a pastor, the room gets hotter than a steel jungle gym in South Georgia in the middle of July. One of the last times I preached on this passage, I was a much younger, more foolish pastor, and I had both the husband and wife come to me afterwards and promptly cuss me out for ever bringing this to light in front of the congregation. So we'll give this another try today. It's been a while. And our big struggle is really the second word of the passage, the word submit. Because submit feels like losing, doesn't it? Submit feels like you gave up, you gave in, you decided that's it, it's losing, it's failure, but is it? I don't think so. In fact, part of our challenge is the way that we read this, specific to the boundaries that go with the passage. For all of you great Bible geeks like me out there, please consider this. There are a number of different ways as to how you read this passage. This is one reading that it starts at verse 22, but I would submit to you, no pun intended, that instead you started at verse 21. Now it has a different meaning, doesn't it? Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. If that's the starting point of the passage, now all of a sudden the purpose of the passage isn't so much about dominance, but the recognition that submission is a mutual kind of action on the part of both husbands and wives. And this word submit altogether is a word that is much maligned and forgotten in our culture. To be handed over to revere, to surrender. It's the exact opposite of everything that we learn in life, isn't it? I mean, we learn how to be independent, self-reliant, strong. We don't learn how to submit. That sounds horrible. It sounds like losing. And yet, this is the very thing that Christ is calling us to do. In fact, it's at the heart of who Jesus is. It's the very action that he modeled and the very desire that God has for us. Consider one of Paul's other epistles from Philippians chapter 2, in which he says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. He laid aside everything and took on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself." We might even say he submitted himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The actions of Jesus show us the power of submission. He's already done it for us. And that's what he asks us to do for one another. And that's key. We get this idea of submitting out of reverence for Christ. It changes everything. Submission is not what weak people do. It's not about dominance. Rather, it's about mirroring the action of Christ, husbands and wives. And recognize in the ancient world, in a time in which women were looked up as property, I cannot begin to tell you how radical this message truly was. We would expect Paul to say something like in the ancient world, "Husbands, rule over your wives." But that's not what we get at all. He says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. And he who loves his wife loves himself." The point here is not to husbands for them to demand submission, but rather he tells them to die. Husbands, are you willing to die for your wife? Are you willing to lay down your life for her? Do her needs come first, or do yours? Do you love her in such a way that you give yourself wholeheartedly, unreservedly, even to the point of death? Husbands, do you love your wives that way? Underwhelming response, guys. I'm trying to tee it up here for you a little bit. Yeah, I think if we look at the passage with verse 21 as the foundation for it, it radically transforms everything. We're called to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, just as Christ has submitted himself with a willingness to go to the cross for every one of us. And in that same kind of submissive, self-sacrificial love, wives can love their husbands, and husbands can love their wives, and children can love their parents, and we might say employees might even love their employers, as hard as it is at times. That's the goal. Wives are crying out for it. They cry out, "Romeo, oh Romeo." And here's the thing, guys. I don't think they're longing for perfection. They just want to know that they're cherished, that they're loved, that they're respected, that they're valued, that they're near and dear to us. And our culture doesn't do so well with this. More often than not, it tends to paint women as tokens to be collected or as people to be pawned over. Men, it's time for us to be better than that. Women are not put here for our possession, but for partnership, for God's purposes. And our responsibility, guys, is to love them sacrificially, to honor them, to help them become the radiant, beautiful, wonderful, amazing women of God that they are. And if you start there, perhaps if we start with the husband's responsibility first, now all of a sudden this begins to make more sense. It's about mutual submission, co-submission. And that requires a bit of explanation today. For the sake of clarity, I'm really glad that women have advanced in leadership, not only in our culture, but in the church. I think, regrettably, our Southern Baptist friends got this wrong this past week. There's a proposal that's out there. Within a year, women will be pulled from leadership or from preaching in their churches. I would call us to prayer for their denomination, for their leadership. And what's particularly upsetting is one of the leaders within the denomination made the claim that those who agree with women in leadership are leading the church towards being liberal. Regrettably, his interpretation ignores the witness of New Testament Scripture. In fact, if you were to look at New Testament Scripture, you would recognize in Luke chapter 8 that it's women who are taking a leadership role in the church. That the very first person to see the resurrected Lord is a woman. That in Acts chapter 1, it's women who are part of the disciples praying for the coming of the Holy Spirit. That at Pentecost, it's women who are part of the work and the witness of the church. And this is not to mention anything of Phoebe, Priscilla, Euodia, Syntyche, those who pray and prophesy according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 at verse 5. Clearly, women had authority to teach and to lead. And his misreading of 1 Timothy chapter 2 as a universal rather than a contextual prescriptive is dangerous. It's irresponsible. And so I want you to hear this morning that our Wesleyan Methodist heritage and theology recognizes the great value of contributions of women like Susanna Wesley, Sarah Mallett, who was authorized by John Wesley himself to preach, Phoebe Palmer, Georgia Harkness, Sojourner Truth, Fanny Crosby. Gentlemen, we can't forget this. And we have to defend it. And let me also say this. Ladies, there is some work to be done in the cultural caricatures of men in our culture. Far too often, they are painted as dumb and incapable and to be tolerated. There is no finer example of this than the show Everybody Loves Raymond, which was so popular years ago. Raise an incapable human being without his mommy or his wife to help him. He's worth nothing. And that has to change, friends. Men and women both, of equal, beautiful, wonderful, infinite value, submitting to Christ and submitting to one another. And the point of submission, it's not lordship, it's not dominance, it's not patriarchy or feminism, it's something we call egalitarianism. The reality that both, from the very beginning of Scripture and the very beginning of time, have both been created in the image of God, both share in the divine task of caretaking for creation, of filling the earth, of subduing it. And where it goes wrong is Genesis chapter 3 at verse 16. It's a product of the fall. And now, rather than the woman who desires for her husband's love and respect, He rather tries to lord over her. That's the product of the fall. When wives and husbands show love and respect to one another, when mutual submission is apparent in the relationship, not only for marriage, but in all of our human relationships, we find closeness, companionship, intimacy, loyalty, and esteem. And that's where men and women both come to feel secure and valued and loved and desired. See, love and respect is at the heart of this, and actually that's where Paul closes the text that we read today. He says, each of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. And our tendency is to make these two different forces. Rather, they're the same side of the same coin. The Gottman Institute for Healthy Relationships shares that when love and respect are disrupted, you get these four horsemen of the apocalypse, they call them. Criticism is a lack of love and respect. Not a recognition that a situation didn't turn out the right way, but a character assassination on the other person. You're the problem, not this is the problem. Or contempt, which assumes a moral superiority in which one party says to the other, you're tired, what about everything that I do? Cry me a river. Or defensiveness and the ignoring of personal responsibility, claiming it's not my fault, it's your fault. Why didn't you take care of it? Well, where's the ownership? And finally, stonewalling, which lacks love and respect as it evades, ignores, and avoids and just claims this whole thing is not worth it. What exists is a lack of love and respect, a lack of mutual submission, of healthy relational functioning. In every one of these four areas, I'd encourage you to consider them not only for your own marriage, but in your relationships with other people, because it's the exact opposite of what Paul is after in the heart of the passage. And just in case you missed it, here it is. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And here's the thing, the world that teaches contracts, God, he shows us covenant. The world teaches us consumption and God teaches sacrifice. The world teaches self-fulfillment. God orders us to give self-giving kind of love. The world says get everything that you can and God says give everything that you can. And that's why the passage has to start here. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. When two people are trying to win individually, I guarantee you everybody loses. I learned this the hard way as a younger pastor. I'm terrible at counseling. Come meet me for a couple times and I'll try to give you a few pearls of wisdom, but after that, I am going to send you on to people who are far better than I am at it. And so two people came in, and man, every one of those four horsemen of the apocalypse, they start throwing around for 45 minutes. And I got to the point, have you ever been in one of those conversations where at this point you just want to see where it's going to go? Well, that's what happened. And at the end of it, you know, he's saying she's stupid, and she's saying he's stupid. And then it got real quiet, and they said, what do you think? And I said, well, let me think about this. He's saying that she's stupid, and she's saying that he's stupid, but y'all married one another, so what does that make you? And that was the last time I ever saw him. I don't know how that worked. But here's the thing, friends. When two people surrender to Christ, you don't have to fight for control. You're free to love. And that's what's missing in our understanding of love today. Love's not a feeling. It's a choice. A choice to willfully submit again and again and again, sacrificially. And that's not without a model. It's exactly what Jesus did for us. When he prayed in a garden, God himself in flesh and blood, not my will, but yours be done. Luke sang it so great for us this morning. That's the prayer. And that prayer, friends, it will not only change your marriage, it'll not only change your relationships, it'll change your life. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you. for your love, for your faithfulness, and for the way that it's new every morning. And I lift up marriages today in our community. I pray, God, that you'd strengthen them. I pray, Lord, that you will show every one of us how to love one another submissively, sacrificially, for the greater flourishing of our lives and of marriage. I pray for those human relationships, friendships, relationships with employers, relationships amongst one another and on leadership teams and here in the body of Christ. And I pray, God, that you'll show us how to submit to one another as we submit to you. Not for the purpose of dominance or domineering somebody else, but rather for the purpose that we might grow, that we might become the men and women that you've called us to be. And so, God, today, change our hearts. Help us forgive one another. Call us to consider where there might be dysfunction in our relationships. And show us, Lord, how to make amends, how to repent and change behavior. If there's abuse, God, I pray that you would strengthen someone to leave and to know that that's not okay either. And Lord, I pray most of all that you'd help us as a church to support one another as we try to navigate this beautiful, wonderful, glorious mess that you give us called life. It's this prayer that I offer this morning in the name of Jesus, and the people of God said, amen. Amen.